You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Just like Gavin and Grace were praying, we are so excited to be together as a student ministries family. And we are very blessed here at Purpose to have a junior high ministry and a high school ministry. But with Pastor Nick sick tonight, it is always special to be together. And we're so glad every single one of you are here. And tonight, we are wrapping up a series that we've been studying on the life of Peter. And last week, we looked at his life, and we saw that Peter exemplified having a faith that lasts. And there's a moment where Jesus is gaining followers. He has, like, amassed a crowd of hundreds, even thousands of people following him, and they're all gathered together listening to him. And you would think he would use that mountaintop moment as an opportunity to preach a really easy message. Or like, you know, like pretty easy, predictable touchdown, maybe something like not too difficult. And instead, Jesus chooses to use that moment to preach something really difficult. And he says that following Jesus is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you believing that Jesus is the bread of life and putting Jesus above anything and everything else. Amen. And for most of the people, that's too hard. And so scripture says in John chapter 6 that most of the people choose to abandon Jesus at that moment. He's losing hundreds, even thousands of followers. And Jesus turns and he looks at his closest friends, the 12, and he says, "Do you want to leave too?" But Peter, one of his disciples, says so beautifully in John chapter 6, verses 68 and 69, he says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." You see, Peter knew that even if following Jesus was difficult, there was nowhere else worth going, that Jesus had the words of eternal life. So Peter has this mountaintop faith moment. He's a strong disciple of Jesus. He has a strong faith, and yet he's human, and he's not perfect. And the danger with a strong faith is that sometimes it can lead to pride. And pride, or arrogance, is thinking of yourself more highly than you are. It's like an inflated view of yourself. And the Bible teaches that pride can look like walking into a room and thinking that you're the best one in it. But it can also look like walking into a room and thinking, "I am like the worst person in this room." Because pride is thinking about yourself more than you're thinking about others. Both are true of pride. And pride and arrogance, they make us vulnerable to failures in our faith. And we talked about this last week, that there are moments where our faith gets put to the test. And maybe you think you're a strong follower of Jesus, that you're a Christian and you would stand by that. But then somebody posts something on social media, or your teammate or your classmate says something negative about Christianity, and you don't really know how to like admit that you're a Christian. You like don't really know how to stand up for your faith in that moment. And pride makes us more vulnerable to failing in our faith in those moments. And I have learned the hard way over and over again that pride makes us vulnerable to failure. And I know this to be true because years ago when I was in college, I needed to take a calculus class. Anyone love math in here? Okay, you're my heroes. Can't really roll with the number thing. And so I'm taking this calculus class, and I am seriously, like, I'm the dumbest one in the class. I don't belong there. And I take the first midterm, the first test, and I aced it. And I was like, wait, maybe I do belong in this class, and like, maybe I am doing really well. And pride comes before the fall, and the second midterm, I failed. And it was like, actually, I had bought concert tickets to skip my midterm instead of taking the test, but I didn't do that, so don't skip school to go to a concert. I'm not condoning that, but thank God I didn't go to the concert because I failed the next test. And then I failed the third test, and I got to the final, and I failed that. And I know, oof. And I checked my grade a few days later, and I am convinced that my TA, one of my teachers, who saw me like struggling all year, but I was trying, I'm pretty sure he like messed with my grade, and I somehow passed the class with a C minus. I failed the class. I did not deserve to pass the class. I'm convinced that if my TA didn't show me that grace, that I would still be like stuck in this calculus class and like not able to be here. And I know that that's a silly story and it's an imperfect illustration, but that story is kind of similar to what we're going to see in Peter's life tonight. That Peter also faced tests, but they were much bigger because they were tests of faith. And Peter was prone to overconfidence or pride or arrogance that led him to some failure. And that's your first fill in the blank that we learn from Peter's life is that pride cannot sustain a faith that lasts. That the moment you start to think of yourself more highly than you ought to, if you're thinking, well, I follow Jesus, like my life's gonna be easy, I'm never gonna face anything hard, that's pride. And Jesus himself says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. You are gonna face trouble, even if you're following Jesus in this life. The moment you start thinking, well, my Bible has more highlights than the person next to me, or I know more scripture than this other person, so I'm better than everyone else here or in my life group, that's pride. And the moment you start to think, well, I don't need to serve my family or my friends because I serve so much at church already, that's pride, and pride will wreck your engine of faith. That you will start to run on empty so fast if you fill yourself with pride because pride is the enemy of humility before Christ. And that's what Peter needed to learn the hard way. And yet, despite his pride, Peter experienced God's grace in a way that changed him forever. So turn with me to John chapter 13, and let's read that together. And remember that by John 13, at this point, Peter has been called as a disciple of Jesus. And Peter's been following this guy like a shadow for 3 years. And Peter's witnessed Jesus perform miracles and heal people and teach powerful messages. And Peter's become a close friend of Jesus. And so when Jesus warns that Peter's going to deny him, it's a pretty alarming situation. And in John 13, starting in verse 33, Jesus says, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." Jesus knows that soon he will die and be put on the cross. I'm so sorry. Blake, can you grab me some water, please? Thank you. Jesus says, verse 34, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter responds to this and says, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." And Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." And Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. So here comes Peter's biggest test. And he gets a warning. Like Jesus says, "Hey, you're gonna disown me 3 times. And Peter is filled with confidence that he will never fall away from Jesus. So he kind of dismisses Jesus' warning. Peter fails to realize that pride is weakening his faith. And he's so overconfident that he'll never let Jesus down that actually in John 18, when Jesus is arrested Peter is like trying to stand up for Jesus, so he whips out his sword and he cuts off the ear of the guard trying to arrest him. So like Peter like still seems to have this strong faith, and yet at the most critical point of Jesus's life, Peter fails to stand up for Jesus or even just identify himself as a follower of him. And in John 18, remember, Jesus is arrested at this point. And scripture says, John 18, starting in verse 5, Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. So they're keeping an eye on what's happening with Jesus. They're close by as he's preparing to go to the cross. And it says, because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you? She asked Peter. He replied, I am not. Yeah, I know. And think about this for a moment. Like, Peter is a grown man who's been following Jesus. He has this deeply held belief, this conviction that Jesus is the Holy One of God, that there's nowhere else to go because he has the words of eternal life. And yet this servant girl, who Jesus treated women as equals, which was revolutionary at the time, but at this time, women's testimonies were not even trusted in court. And so this little servant girl, who probably has no power at this time, she says, hey, Peter, aren't you one of Jesus' disciples? And he can't even admit to her that he is. He says, I'm not. And then in verse 25, scripture says, meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself. So they asked him, you aren't one of his disciples too, are you? He denied it, saying, I am not. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him. Didn't I see you with him in the garden? Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow. So Peter does exactly what he told Jesus that he wouldn't do. That Jesus predicted that Peter would deny Jesus three times. And Peter does it once, twice, and a third time, and then a rooster crows. And I'm convinced at that moment, Peter's mortified. He knows exactly what he's done, the mistakes that he's made. And in the Gospel of Matthew, after it says that a rooster crowed, it says that Peter went out and wept bitterly because he's heartbroken over his sin and his mistakes. Remember that Jesus dies this night. And Peter doesn't know the end of the story. So he's not sure if he's going to get a second chance with Jesus. He doesn't even know if he'll see Jesus again. But what Peter thought might be the end of his story, God used for his redemption. And I want to pause there. Sorry, just feeling like emotional tonight, but maybe you in this room have made some sort of mistake. Like, maybe you've failed in your faith. You've failed to identify with Jesus, to stand up with your faith, or maybe you've just sinned. Like, maybe you've disobeyed God. You've done something that you know dishonors him. And you might think that your story's over, and that you're disqualified from God's family forever. But the good news is, as we see in Peter's story, is that God may use your biggest faith failure for his biggest display of his grace and mercy. That if you let him, if you turn to Jesus again after you failed, he's gonna run to you. He's excited at you coming home to him. Something that's been so encouraging to me in my own walk with Jesus is the truth that God is not hiding from us. He's not like playing games with us. He wants to be found. He wants to be generous with his mercy and grace. He wants us to turn to him. That's all we have to do. And it's only him who could take what's broken and make it new and whole again. Thanks be to God. Because on the third day after Jesus dies on the cross, Jesus rises from the grave. And it's only with God. It's only with Jesus and his goodness that there is resurrection after death. And I imagine Peter, like us in this moment, might be filled with hope. And in John chapter 21, we get some rare insight into the risen Jesus's interaction with his disciples. And we get this moment in John 21, starting in verse 15, where Jesus has an interaction with Peter. And we don't know, scripture doesn't really say if before this point, Jesus and Peter ever talked about that night. That night where Peter denied Jesus three times. We don't know if they've already had a conversation. And yet this is what we get insight into in verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And there are some scholars who would encourage you to look at the Greek, the original language that this passage was written in. And it is a cool study. You'll see that Jesus uses different words for the word love. And that's cool, but I think we have to like zoom out and not miss the bigger picture here. That we had just read a few chapters earlier that Peter denied Jesus three times before his death. And here, in John chapter 21, Jesus gives Peter an opportunity to confess that he loves Jesus three times. What a mercy and grace is that? Mercy and grace are slightly different. Mercy is not getting what you deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve. So Brittany is one of our high school leaders. She's a prosecutor. She's a lawyer. And so imagine that she's on a case where someone stole something from a store. Mercy would be that person not going to prison, like not going to jail, not getting what they deserve. But grace would be the store owner giving what that person stole to the person as a gift. Mercy is you hurt a friend and your friend says, "I forgive you. I'm not going to hold that against you anymore, even though you deserve it. I was really hurt." But grace is saying, "I forgive you and I love you." And with God, he gives us both. That for Peter, Peter messed up. Jesus could have dropped him as a disciple, you know? He like could have kicked him out of the group chat. Like just said, "You're not qualified to be my disciple anymore." But he didn't do that. That's mercy. But then God gives him an opportunity to say that he loves him three times. That's grace, getting what you don't deserve. And Peter is asked to respond by Jesus in verse 19, the same invitation Jesus has given over and over again. He says, "Peter, follow me." And Peter is radically changed by this experience of grace. Remember last week when Peter first started following Jesus, Jesus gave him a new name, Peter, which means rock. And we come to know that that means that Peter will be the rock that Jesus builds his church on. That Peter, because he's experienced for himself Jesus and his grace, we find him in the book of Acts chapter 2 preaching about the grace that he experienced. He's preaching about the grace that Jesus offers to everyone everywhere through his life, death, and resurrection. And he's preaching, inviting people to begin to put their faith in Jesus that is needed to be saved from their sin. And in Acts 2, verse 38 and 39, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Peter, even with all of his failures and shortcomings that we saw tonight, had a faith that lasted because I think he knew that God's grace is the fuel for a faith that lasts. If you want a faith that is strong enough to endure suffering and hardship, one that lasts, you have to constantly go back and remember God's grace, that he saved you when you didn't deserve it, through Jesus. And that's why pride is dangerous for a faith that lasts, because when we're prideful, we don't humble ourselves enough to admit that we need God. We think we could do it all on our own. But when we're humble before Jesus, we let his grace meet us there and teach us how to keep putting our faith in him. If you want a faith that lasts, you need to constantly go back to God's grace. And that's why HSM, and we're inviting JHM to do this with us, pretty much every week that we study God's word, your application is to read the Bible every day. Read the Bible every day. And right now, all of you have a Bible reading plan that this month is taking us through the whole Gospel of John, everything that we're talking about tonight. And it's our prayer, our team prays, that as you are opening up God's word every day, that he uses it to transform you, to remind you of his grace. And as you do, I believe, I'm confident that you will experience the faith adventure that God has for us that will last into this lifetime and into eternity. Let me pray for you. Jesus, you are so good. And we thank you that you demonstrate your love for us in that while we were still sinners, you gave your life for us. Thank you for your grace, Jesus. And I pray that tonight, as we talk in our life groups about your grace, I pray that you would help us be transformed, that you would help us confess our sins and our failures so that you can use them for your biggest displays of mercy and grace. You're so good to us. We love you so much. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.